The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
But today we're going to take off in a new direction. If you can remember this sermon, you might want to take notes, so because you'll be embarrassed later if I ask you some questions and you don't remember. Because before I do that, Jim, do you have that video up? You do? All right, Jim sent me a video that really sets the stage for today's message. We'll listen to this. Jim?
I don't know how you feel, but every now and then I get this sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. Every now and then a nervousness that comes over me, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just the stress and pressures of life, but every now and then I just feel like running into the corner and crying uncontrollably because of the things that I've seen, the things that people are going through, the pain that they're going through. And I wish to God, I say, Father, won't you make in me a strong warrior that is able to stand against the things that's coming against my people, because I need that sword. And he said, you have the sword. I said, God, I need the shield. He said, you have the shield. I said, God, what'll I do? He said, remember me.
Woo!
Remember me. I am the one that can stand against the enemy. And though I attack on one side, I'll have 1,000 there to meet him. Woo! On this side, 10,000. But you will not fall.
Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'd like to hear that whole sermon. That was just Remember Me. That's what our series is about. As I put it, and God said, don't forget. Over, I can't tell you how many times the phrase remember this or that or me or don't forget is mentioned in the scriptures. When Rick and Judy Manis were here a couple of weeks ago, we were having a discussion, and we were remembering things. And I said, well, you know, that'd make a good series, just the things that we need to remember. So I decided to take off and see how good we are about remembering. And you notice the little string here. You might get a piece of string and just tie it around your finger so you will remember what that means, okay? And I want to show you a passage of scripture from a little thing that won't work. There we go. I'll push it again. Jim, you're going to have to manually take that forward for me because it won't work for some reason. I'm pushing all the buttons. There we go. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Remember, everybody say remember.
Remember.
Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. And the message puts it this way, where the word repent is, it says, turn back to God. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come. There's a promise there. He tells us to remember, and he says, I will come. So, and God said, don't forget. Don't forget. God reminds us to remember what we have received and what we have heard. And if we don't remember it, we run the risk of losing it. If we don't remember, we run the risk of losing it. Our ability to remember what God has said to us requires that we refresh that memory, that we bring it back to the forefront of our mind. Our lives cluttered with too many things. I can't tell you in any given week how many people that I speak to as I'm about the kingdom's business, but people tell me they're just so worn out, just stressed out. Ministers, just regular people that you meet, just the people in the store will tell you that. The cashiers are just slap worn out. And the clutter causes spiritual amnesia. It causes spiritual amnesia. We got too many things in life to take care of. And we find we spend our lives taking care of all these things that we have. I sometimes think back when Pat and I first started our life together that we had a little one-bedroom apartment. We had boxes with rugs over them for furniture. We had a table that somebody gave us because we didn't have one. They visited us and they gave us one. The first time Pat and I invited someone to have dinner with us, we had to go borrow enough plates to feed them. We only had two plates and two forks and knives. But so I had to go borrow a plate and a fork and a knife so we could give this guy, his name was George, a dinner that day. But you know, life was a lot simpler then because I didn't have all these things to take care of. So, I guess you. That's all I had at the beginning. So, sin. That was a good move. But I've got it. Well, no, I won't go there. I had a lot less when I didn't have Pat. But once I got Pat, I got a lot more. I had some things to take care of, and I'm not complaining. But sin will clutter up our lives, and it'll give us spiritual amnesia, too. It causes us to have memory loss, because that will be the forefront of our mind. Instead of God being there, we'll be thinking about what we did that we shouldn't have done. So the things that we remember are things that have value to us. So what do you consider valuable? I mean, we have things, we lock our doors at night to keep people from stealing. We have safety deposit boxes to put stuff in. We carry guns to protect things, things that have value. Things that we practice and we use all the time, those things have value to us. And we safeguard the things that are of value. So in this series, we're going to cover a lot of territory. We're going to cover, in part and some in detail, remembering things we've received, remembering relationships, remembering to give, remembering to pray, remembering to live. Some of them forgot how to live. And remembering, as that preacher said in that video, remembering God. So these are just some of the topics that I picked up out of the scriptures. There are literally hundreds of admonitions to remember and some things to forget. So we're going to begin today with the series with the sermon that I've titled, Remember What You Have Received. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. This word remember, I like to go look at the original manuscripts as close as we can get, and that Greek word translated into remember is very interesting. I can't pronounce it, but if I could spell it at least, it's M-N-E-M-O-N-E-U-O, monumentio, or something like that. It means to recall something from memory, and it implies that it was not something that you had forgotten. Run that by you again. To recall something by memory, and by implication, it's not something that you had forgotten. I'll give you an illustration of that. It's a verb, first word. You know, a verb is something that you do. It's a story so familiar that you don't have to remember it in order to tell it. For example, let me tell you about the time I got captured by a grizzly bear in Alaska. I wouldn't have any problem telling you that story, and neither would you. Jim, I can't get over the fact that every story he tells begins, I was on a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean. You know, he doesn't have to worry about trying to remember it. And you have stories like that. But it's an example of what it's not. It's, I wonder if I repaid Morris that $100 I borrowed from him. You see, that you have to reach in your memory to try to see. And I hope all of you are examining yourselves. did I borrow $100 from Pastor Morris and didn't pay him back? We'll see how many $100 bills I get at the end of the sermon here today. What you remember, what you what the scriptures are telling you to remember, it's such a part of you, it's in your DNA. You don't have to think about it. It is there all the time. You've told the story so many times that you tell the story this way when you begin it. I know I've told you this before, but do you? And then we take off on the story. Without this event, you wouldn't be you. This thing that you remember makes you who you are. You're that individual. So we begin by refreshing our memory with the most important thing in our lives. Remember, you were rescued from captivity. Let's look at that scripture again. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Remember that thing above all. When your life and eternity are on the line, and a rescue team shows up, you will always remember it. I guarantee you, the people down in New Orleans, they got lifted off by helicopter out of Katrina, remember it. Some people, there was a guy that had a video who actually survived Katrina, who was out in, what's that street out there? What is it? Car Drive. Thank you, Pat. Car Drive. He took a video. That wasn't him. That was you. Okay. I thought it sounded a little deep for Pat's voice. But he had a video that he took in a storm, and he's watching the camps out there just being blown away. And he's thinking, boy, what a bad idea it was for me to do this. And he got a plastic bag, a baggie, and he put the camera in it and sealed it up. He said, because if I don't make it, somebody will find this video and be able to see what actually happened. Well, as it turns out, he survived, and so did the camera, and so did the video. But I've got to see him. But if that guy was here today, he has no problems remembering that. I'll take to my grave the rescue that I had in the river. I'll never forget that orange helicopter showing up after 3 hours with the Coast Guard on board to pick me up out of the river and bring me to help when I had that boating accident. I'll remember through eternity the day that James Walter Hickman asked me that question. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven or hell? Boy, it just changed me. I don't have any problems at all. Remember that. I can see it in great detail. Israel was told in the passage of Scripture that we just read, to remember every detail of the rescue out of Egypt. You know, reread that as if it was a story. If you had been there, oh, you would remember it. You'd remember every part of it. They told the story over and over and over again. The old knew it. The young knew it. It went from generation to generation. When we were delivered out of Egypt, it's repeated so many times in the Scripture, over and over again in great vivid detail. They remember Pharaoh. They remember the plagues. They remember the manna in the desert. They remember the Red Sea when it parted. They remember the crossing the Jordan and going into the Promised Land. This is part today. You'll find any Jew anywhere on the planet and you ask them about it, they'll tell you about the deliverance out of Egypt. Question is, do you remember your deliverance? I mean, is it such a part of you? Have you been rescued from slavery? Have you been rescued and have a great salvation? One of the things Pat and I were talking about just this past week, I think that I've become too familiar with the term believe and of believers. And I ask people all the time, are you a believer? And I know what I mean when I ask that, but I don't think everybody gets it. I'm not talking about, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? Do you believe that Jesus was around? You know, it's much more than that. The Scriptures defined it this way. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, I guarantee you, if you're born again, you'll know it. Won't be any question in your mind. Won't be any doubt that if you ask somebody, well, are you going to heaven or hell when you die? And they said, well, I'm not sure. That person probably is not going to heaven at all. If they're not sure, they don't know. It may be just a lack of knowledge. Maybe they did have an experience with God, but they don't understand it. When I use the word, are you a believer? I'm saying, have you been born again? Is Jesus Christ in your life? Does that change you so much that you can't get away from it? That you know it happened. You can see in your mind's eye the moment that realization came to you. It may have been a process, but it reached a point where you know. One of the things that I do with people all the time when they ask me about Christianity, and I'll say, well, have you received Christ in your life at some time in your life? And they say, yeah, I think so. Well, I pray with them right there. And some of you, have you known me to do that? You know, because I want that person to know that on that date, that moment, that place, that they received Christ into their life, and they'll never have any doubt about it again. They'll never say, well, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. They'll remember that. That's why occasionally when we have strangers here, I mean, when I know all of you, I don't do it as much, but that you would know it, that it makes a difference, that you remember the Red Sea. You remember it parting for you. You remember your deliverance from sin. You remember how it felt. You remember that something happened to you. It's not that you have to feel it, but that you know it. A good friend of mine, when he was dying, and he was in a hospital down at in New Orleans, I believe it was MD Anderson, if I'm not mistaken. Where was it? Ochsner's. What is MD Anderson? It was an Ochsner's, because he had been at MD Anderson. But I had talked to him countless times about the Lord, and he just never, he's, you know, looking to feel something, and he was dying, and he knew he was dying. And he said, Morris, talk to me as if you never met me before. And so I took my Bible, and I just showed him about how to be born again. You know, and I asked him if he'd like to pray and receive Christ into his life. And he did. And I mean, I just led him in a very simple prayer. And when I got finished, I said, do you feel anything? And he said, no, I don't. I don't feel anything. I said, did I tell you you had to feel anything? He said, no. He just told me I had to believe. I said, do you believe? He said, I do believe, Morris. I don't feel anything, but I do believe. Well, this guy, all the years I knew him, his close friend of mine, all the years I knew him, he never let me hug him. Every time I tried to hug him, he said, I don't do that. I mean, that's he put his hand out. He'd stop me, wouldn't let me hug him. He'd shake hands with you, never wouldn't let me hug him. And in that hospital, after he prayed and didn't feel anything, he stood up and he's, you know, they got those gowns with your rear end sticking out, and he had IVs sticking out of him everywhere. And he said, would you give me a hug? Oh, I'm telling you, when you get saved, something happens to you that you can't get away from. And his wife and everyone who knew him said, what happened to him? He's so different. He didn't live for several weeks after that before he died. But he changed. He changed. Those who got went across the Red Sea, what's that? He said, I just love everybody. Hey. Yeah, he asked. He said, tell me about heaven. He wanted to know about heaven. I'm telling you that if something happened to you, you know about it. Israel never went back to slavery again. There was a time they wanted to. They said, man, we were better off in Egypt making bricks for Pharaoh without any straw on, then we are out here in the middle of the desert with you, Moses. They were griping and complaining, but they never went back. And I'll tell you the same thing about you. When you get saved, you never go back. You might gripe and complain. You might be a sorry Christian, but you'll never be sorry you're a Christian. You know, because something happens to you. You know? But what happens to us many times, we keep going back to the things of Egypt. We find ourselves tangled in sin. We find ourselves tangled in things we don't want to do, from pornography to food to alcohol to drugs to depression to anger. We find ourselves wrapped up in those things again, and it ought to not be so, beloved. You ought to get rid of the trappings of Egypt and let them go. Say, well, I can't get the victory. Yes, you can. Don't tell me you can't. If you can't get the victory over those things, then there's something wrong with the Bible. Because the Bible says you can't have the victory. Jesus came to set us free. He said, I've come to set the captives free. He didn't say I came to give them, you know, a three-day pass. But he came to set us free. You know, anything that's not of the Lord is sin. I don't preach on sin very much, but that's a fact. And if you keep going back to the old stuff and smelling the old stuff and touching the old stuff, you need to think about that. First of all, you need to think, am I really saved? Did I ever get saved, or did I just get church? I just get religion. I'm talking about being born again in the Spirit of God, where something transforms you. You know the way the Scriptures describe it? Paul the great apostle put it this way. He said, I want you to listen to me. You've heard this before, all right? And I know I've said this before, but I haven't forgotten it, and you haven't forgotten it. He said that in Christ, we become a new creation. Let me give you a quick language lesson. That word creation in the Greek is the same word that is used back in the book of Genesis when it says, and God created. When God created light and the planets and the stars and Adam, that same word creation is the same word in Greek, not in Hebrew, but in Greek, translated from Hebrew to Greek. It says you are a new creation, just like the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the planet, and Adam and Eve, and everything else that God created. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he says, old things pass away. And then he exclaims, he says, behold, all things have become new. Have you ever had that experience? You didn't have to feel anything, but did you know when you know it that something happened to you? Something that's so familiar to you that you don't have to think about it to try to remember it. It's just who you are. And if somebody ever said to you, are you going to heaven one day? I said, absolutely. Well, how could you possibly know that? Well, because I was born again. And if you know that the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, then you would know that. It said, behold, I become new. The old stuff is gone. It said, well, you still look the way you used to look. I may look that way on the outside, honey, but on the inside, something new is cooking. You know, something's changed inside of me. I am a different person than I was back then. Is your story one of remembering victory or defeat? Do you remember the victory or the defeat? You should remember the victory. Be a sense of joy about who you are. If it's defeat, it's time to break those bonds of slavery. You've been set free. I was listening to a preacher this morning on radio and on TV, actually. David Jeremiah, and I have a lot of respect for David Jeremiah. He's a wonderful preacher. I like most of what he said. Preached the worst sermon I've ever heard him preach this morning. The worst I've ever heard him preach this morning. He's talking about the millennial and how the millennium's going to come, and then we're going to get the victory. Then we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Then all this stuff's going to happen. I'm like, that's not true. That's what happens when you get born again. When you get saved, that's what happens. You have Christ living in you. You have the victory. You already are ruling and reigning with Christ. In fact, the scripture says that just as he is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. I'm not waiting for something to happen, beloved. It's already happened. I'm already seated with him in the heavenly realm. I've already been washed of all my sins. I've already been given a new spirit. I'm already new in Christ Jesus. I already have the righteousness of God. That's what happens when you get born again. I'm not waiting for the millennial to happen. If David wants to wait for the millennial, have fun, David. But for me and my house, we're going to have fun right now. I'm going to enjoy who I am in Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, not in the sweet by and by. He's talking about the millennial. Are you amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial? I don't care what millennial you are or you're born again. If you're born again, you have all the promises of God. Oh, yes and amen today, not tomorrow. And you won't be surprised when you get to heaven and say, "Woo! I made it here." No, you're going to walk through and say, "I'm here. And I've been here since the day I got saved." That's what happens to you when you really get saved. Something changes inside of you. You need to remember that. You know what the enemy does? He wants to remind you what a sorry, no good worm you are. That's not from God. God says you're His righteousness. You are a child of God. You've been made one with Him. You're a part of the... People are looking, well, you know, one day what they're going to do? They're doing it right now over in Israel. They're building the temple. Oh my gosh, they got the fatted calf. You know, everybody's looking forward to it. They're going to start doing the sacrifices in Israel again. Oh, happy days. Why would anybody want to go back to that? When we have the sacrifice, one sacrifice, Christ Jesus, for all men, for all time. There's nothing in the temple for us, beloved. And the fact that if you're not a Jew, they wouldn't even let you in the place. You know, looking for those things to happen. We try to, I'm going off on a tangent here. Ah, oh, my goodness. Moving on. I spent all day on that point in the sermon. Number two, remembering to always refresh what you remember. I like that. Remembering to always refresh what you remember. The latter part of verse 15 in Deuteronomy says, "Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Oh! Well, preacher, that's the law. We're not under the law. We don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. You are the Sabbath. You don't get to keep it. That's who you are. We enter that Sabbath rest when we entered into Christ. Israel was commanded to memorialize their deliverance. How can you memorialize your rescue? You can be serious about observing your Sabbath rest. Now this is, I'm not going to preach the whole sermon on this, but I could. But I'm going to try to give you a feel for it. You know, one of the joys of my life, I don't do it as much as I like to, but every time I get the opportunity, I like it. I like to, in the middle of the afternoon, I like to go in, I like to sit down in front of my TV, I like to turn on Fox News. It's right after I eat lunch, and I like to fall asleep. Oh, it feels so good. I enjoy that rest. I mean, it's one of the joys of my life, just to sleep right through the news. You know? It's a rest. You know, rest does you good. And in Christ, He rested from His work. His work was living on this planet, being nailed to the cross, resurrected from the grave. And it says, He entered into His rest. So if you ask Jesus, what are you doing today? Nothing. Well, don't you have something to do? What about the billions of people around the world? Aren't you supposed to be doing something? No, I got nothing to do. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's working. But right now, for me, I got nothing to do. I'm just waiting till it all happens. That's all I got to do. Excuse me. Could y'all excuse me for a minute? I need to take a little nap. Jesus just kind of takes a little nap. I know I'm playing games with you. But that's the way we ought to be living our lives. Not stressed out. Not worried about, you know, did I give enough money? Did I go to church enough? Did I help enough people? Did I visit enough people in prison? Did I, you know, just make the whole litany of things that you think you have to do? Did I give Brother Morris that $100 back that I owe him? You know? But to risk in who you are, to take a deep breath and say, you know what? If the whole world goes to hell, it'll go without me. You know, if the Koreans blow up the world, it doesn't matter. I'm blowing out of here. You know? It doesn't matter. Well, what if they impeach Trump? Oh, that would scare you, wouldn't it? You know, what if they do that? Well, that ain't going to happen because that's not physically possible. You know? But we worry about stuff and we don't rest. We need to rest in the Lord. This is the most important thing that you need to know about your life, is that you're born again. You are entered into the rest with Christ. He's sitting down taking it easy. The scripture says, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm already. We've been blessed with those things. And that we are seated with him in the heavenly realm and we're taking a nap with Jesus. If you went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, do you know how bad things are? Say, man, take a break. Sit down right here by me, would you? Let's take a little nap and then we'll talk about it. All right? That's the way you need to see yourself. You need to think about your life that way. All the stuff that comes up to aggravate you in life, just let it go. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with this world. And sure, your body's in this world, but it's for the most important thing about you is you are not only heavenly minded, you're heavenly directed, because that's where you're going. Entering into the rest. It's your Sabbath day. You know what the Jews did on the Sabbath by law? Nothing. And if they did, they'd get in a whole bunch of trouble. You don't believe that? Ask Jesus. This guy is blind. Jesus heals him. You did it on the Sabbath. Jesus said, listen, you got enough sense. If you got a jackass and he falls in the ditch, well, at least pull him out. He ate some grain off the field. I saw him. They took grain and they were eating it. They did that on the Sabbath. No. He said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Take a break. Give yourself a break and enjoy who you are. You're going to worry yourself all the way to heaven. And when you get there, Jesus said, what were you so worried about? What was the problem? Did you have a meal? Did you have a place to live? Did you have clothes on your back? Don't you know that I take care of the birds of the air? I don't do a thing. They were on an eternal Sabbath, and I feed them. The lilies of the field, they do nothing but live and grow and get thrown in the furnace. And not even Solomon, in all of his glory, was arranged and dressed like one of these flowers. Aren't you worth more than sparrows and the lilies of the field? The answer is yes. You need to remember that. You need to bring this back to your mind. You need to refresh your mind. You need to tell the story. One of the ways you refresh your story is you tell your story. I never get tired of telling people about what happened to me on August the 8th on a Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon in Picayune, Mississippi. I never get tired of it. I can still see James Walter Hickman, 350 or 400 pounds of blubber, standing at the door of his house and ask me, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven or hell? And I remember saying, because I was so dumbfounded, I thought, well, if there is a heaven or hell, I'd probably go to hell. And I could hear Jim's voice in my head. He said, well, why don't you sit down here? Let me show you something. He said, by the way, what's your name? He didn't even know my name. And he reached up in his top pocket of his shirt, pulled out a little New Testament, about that big. It was that big, and he was that big. Yeah. And he whipped it open. You know, look at this right here. For all, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He said, have you ever sinned? I said, oh, yeah. He said, look at this here. You know the wages of sin is death? that you're gonna die? And that word means eternal separation from God. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I know the story. And I like to tell a story. And the way I refresh myself in the Lord is telling people my story. Tell some story to your family. You know one of the worst things can happen to you? Is for you to die. If one of your family members come up to me, if I'm doing your funeral, I hope I am, and they come up to me and say, Where is Bob? Where are they? You know how many times I get asked that? All the time. You know why? Because somebody didn't tell their story. You ought to tell a story to your wife, to your husband, to your mother, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your nephews, your nieces, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your grandchildren. You need to tell them the story so that when the time comes and they got you in a box or in a jar somewhere, and somebody comes up to me and they say, I know Grandma's in heaven because she told me about it. Michael Reagan, President Reagan's son, adopted son, tells a story about when he was on Air Force One. Now, that's a good place to get saved. On Air Force One, flying across the nation with his dad, who was the President of the United States, and Ronald Reagan told his son, Michael, about how he got saved. And he led Michael Reagan to the Lord on Air Force One. Wow, what a good thing to do, amen? Now, the other kids evidently weren't listening, Patty and Ron Jr., because they're still living like the devil right now, so far as I know. But Michael heard the story. Michael didn't have any problem when his daddy died. He knew where his daddy was. He knew where he was. He was in a heavenly realm. Telling somebody, refreshing that story, telling it to people. Remember the day you were rescued. Remember when sin was taken away from you and all the penalty of sin was taken away by Christ Jesus at Calvary's tree, and you were born again of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Tell that story. Refresh it in your mind. Rehearse it in your mind. If I ask some of you, and I'm not going to do it today, I might, you never know, to come up here and tell your story of salvation, you'd have a heart attack before you got up here. First of all, that you'd have to speak in front of people, and second, that you couldn't remember it. Wow. Nobody got trouble in your life. You got no lynch pig to hang on to. You got no maypole to go around. You got nothing holding you together except a hope so. Well, I hope Jesus will have mercy on me and let me in. He won't. You want mercy? You get it right here when you receive Christ in your life. Because once this is over, bud, it's over. There's no hope for you. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, to judgment. And the judgment is not your sin. Get this out of your mind. I wouldn't go to heaven if God would do this. Have a big screen up there and say, oh, everybody, come gather around. I want to show you all of Morris's sins. Whoa, you're going to love this. Wouldn't that be hell in heaven? You know what, hell on earth? That'd be hell in heaven. You know what? Your sins are as far away as the east is from the west. In other words, you can go as far as you want, east or west. You can't get the other direction. They'd be done. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. God has forgotten your sin. If you went up to God today and you said, do you remember the time that I, and you name it, he'd say, hey, Jesus, you wake up. Jesus, do you remember? Jesus, get out of the rest for a minute. Do you remember the time that, and he'd say, what are you talking about? I don't know. Even the Holy Spirit doesn't know. God doesn't remember because it was taken away at Calvary's tree. So the only person who remembers is a demented you. And it'll make you demented. It'll keep you stuck on stupid for the rest of your life, worrying about what you did. You know the hardest person on the planet to get forgiveness is for you to forgive yourself. You won't forgive yourself. God has. He don't care about it anymore. He only cares about you. That's the heavenly realm. Your troubles in life will shrink to peanuts if you just keep in mind that one thing. I used to tell this to Pat all the time when I was having trouble in business. And if you own a business, it's trouble. All you people want to own a business. You won't want to own it long once you own it. It's like dancing with a grizzly bear. Once you start, you can't get free. If you turn loose, the bear's going to eat you. And I tell Pat, I said, well, they can't eat me, you know. That's what I thought about the things that I went through in business. I said, well, nobody's going to eat me, and I'm still on the road to heaven. As long as you keep that focus, it'll help you to keep your mind set on Christ, and you won't get confused about life. Because man's days are few and filled with trouble. Everybody's got trouble. But you don't let that control your life. What controls your life is your memory, your remembering of who you are in Christ Jesus. Take an inventory of your life. Are you enjoying life? Have you been delivered from evil? Has God's hand on you? If the answer to that is yes, stop worrying about all the craziness of life. Most of what you're worried about, you can't do a thing about it anyway. You're worried, will the Republicans pass health care? Maybe. Maybe not. Whatever they do, you're not going to like it. They won't like it, and you won't like it. Anything the United States Congress does is not going to be good for you one way, shape, form, or another. It might help you one way, but remember this, whatever the government puts in your right pocket, they take out with the left. All right? So don't worry. You've got no control over that anyway. The only thing you got control of is your memory. You want to remember who you are in Christ and enjoy that. All right. Moving right along. I am going to get to the third point of this sermon. Remember to never renounce what you received. Remember to never renounce what you received. Revelation, this is where we started off. Remember, everybody say remember. I remember. Say it. I remember, therefore, what I have received and heard, and I'm holding it fast, and I've repented, I've turned back to God. But if I don't wake up, you will come like a thief, and I won't know what time that's coming, and I know that you'll be coming. Wow, read it like that, it makes a little more sense to you, doesn't it? Makes a little bit more personal. You know, makes it personalized it. You know, I remember. Now, grace doesn't allow you to renounce your faith. I mean, I'm not talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell. Look, get over this thing, all right? Just get over it. Just get over it. It's okay to be saved. It is. It's okay. You don't have to apologize to anybody. Say, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus said I was going. You got a problem, go talk to him. Yeah. Well, you believe in that, once saved, always saved? No, I do not believe in once saved, always saved. I believe in salvation under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever that means, that's what I got. As soon as Jesus dies again, I'm going to die. That's true. As soon as he dies, I'm going to die. But in the meantime, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have eternal life, everlasting life. I will not die. And I'm not making any apologies to you for that. If you want to die, knock yourself out. But don't be renouncing your faith to make somebody else feel good because they're using some kind of religious, theological junk on you to get you worried about yourself. Don't let that happen to you. Jesus sets captives free. The first thing Jesus said publicly, I've come to set you free. And you are a captive. I've come to do that. Now, I think anything Jesus wanted to do, I think he got it done. I think he was able to do it. Are you resting? Never renounce your rest. People said, well, you know, you need to be doing this. You know, the Bible tells you that you're supposed to visit the prisoners. Have you ever gone to the jail to visit the prisoners? And they said, no. Oh, well, that means you're not saved. I had a deacon tell me that one time. We had a jail ministry up in Poplarville, Mississippi. We used to go up there every 2 weeks to visit people. And a deacon in the church came up to me and he said, I'm going to go with you guys next week. And I said, oh, well, that'd be great. He said, well, I need to go. He said, because I've never visited people in prison. And the Bible says if you don't visit those in prison, you won't receive life. I don't know where it says that, but that's what he said. And that's why he went, to make sure that he could get into heaven. He went and visit those prisoners. Wow. That's impressive. That must mean I get at the front of the line because I've been in jail a bunch of times. You know, see how silly that is? See how silly that is? Don't renounce your Sabbath rest. Jesus said, I've come to put new wine in new wineskins, not new wine in old wineskins. He said, the old wineskins can't hold it. If you don't hear nothing else I say today, listen to this. Your old religious way of thinking is old wineskins. And if you try to pour the message of grace into the message of law, it'll break wide open and spill all over the place and make a mess. It'll stain the carpets of your life. Don't buy into that malarkey. I know you've been indoctrinated. If you've been to the Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Methodist, non-denominational, and just go down and list all of the churches, I know they told you that. But they were wrong. Because the scriptures don't say that. It says that all of your sin has been washed away in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that you can do. Listen to me. There's nothing that you can do to make God stop loving you, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you more than he does right now. There's no brownie points in heaven. You can't say, well, if anybody had a right to get in front of the line, it's me, by the way. You know how much I've done for the Lord? My goodness. I've been so busy doing, look at my age. I'm 77 years old, going to be 78 this year. Just a boy compared to you, Liz. You know, at 91, you know, I'm just a boy. You know, you know how many times I wasn't with my family when I should have been, you know, and I was out taking care of some church member. How many times I had to go to hospitals, go visit people, or do funerals, or do weddings, which I hate doing. And, you know, and I've done stuff. I had to put up with stuff. I had people talk bad about me. I've been accused of stuff. I mean, it's been terrible. I know I get to the front of the line. God loves me more than he loves you because of everything that I did to earn his love. If you believe that, you are never going to get any rest. It's not about what we do. We get to do stuff for the Lord. We get to be involved in the kingdom. But it's about him. And let's not renounce the blood of Christ by thinking that we could add anything to it. I've got some good friends who don't buy this because they're wrong. And I know I'm right. Because I can't find it anywhere. There's nothing that I can do to make God let me into heaven and save one thing. And that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. The rest of this stuff is all open for grabs. You want to believe in the millennial, no millennial, the tribulation, no tribulation, the rapture, no rapture. Just pick whatever you like. And then you'll find a church somewhere in town that'll believe that, what you want to believe. But I'm sticking with Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. Raised from the dead. And I believe that. I've staked everything on that, which was absolutely nothing I staked on it. Never renounce who you are in Christ. And don't let the enemy get you believing that. Uh-huh. Caught you looking at that nasty program on TV. Heard you using them bad words and four-letter words. Saw you looking at that you shouldn't have looked at. Heard what you said, carrying a beer bottle around the middle of a parking lot, drinking that nasty alcohol, smoking stinking cigars. You know, just to go down the list. Got nothing to do with that, beloved. I don't think you ought to smoke stinking cigars, especially if you want to be my friend, because you will stink. It's got nothing to do with church. You know one of the funniest things on the planet? Is Christians who are church-going people who smoke, but they don't think anybody knows about it. Every time you hug them, if you don't smoke, you know they smoke. Especially the ladies. They'll do up their hair. As soon as you hug them, you smell it right in their hair. You know they've been smoking them cigarettes. Bob Harrington says, smoking won't send you to hell. Just make you smell like you've been there. It's not about those things. It's about what Christ has done. And don't let anybody rob you. I got too many stories. I got to move along here. You were dead, and now you're alive. That's what the scripture said. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and now have you been made alive. Wow. Are you alive or dead? Well, what side of that coin are you on? You were in darkness, and now you're in light. You know one of the worst things about somebody going to hell? Live in eternal darkness. I mean, no light. Zero light. How many have been to Ruby Falls? You know, you've been in that cave of Ruby Falls? Scared the tar out of you when the turn those lights off. The guy, when I was down there, the guy said, if you see a hand in front of you when I turn these lights off, it's not yours. Whoa. I was with my mother and dad. I said, turn that lights off, please. That's what hell's going to be. No light. Now tell them what you'll bump into down there. You won't know whether it's another sinner in hell or maybe the devil himself. You don't want to be there. You as a believer will never experience that. You were born again and you live in eternal life. You were drinking from the well of sorrows and now you're a spring of living water that wells up for all who are thirsty can come to and get a drink of water. You have that life and you can tell them about your story that you remember that you can tell it to them. You no longer live in Egypt or in the desert. You are free to dance on the streets of the heavenly kingdom. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Remember that you are set free, never to be held captive again. Close with this one thought. Enter the rest of the Lord today. I know this sermon for believers is encouragement. It encourages me to hear it coming out of my own mouth. Just to hear who we are in Christ. And just give yourself a break. Just enter that rest. See Jesus sitting on the throne, snoozing, and go sit next to him and take a break. You'll enjoy the company and he'll enjoy having you there. That's who you are in Christ. Stop worrying about all this stuff and start enjoying who you are. Wouldn't it be terrible to enter heaven's gates and tired from all the stuff you've worried about and find that God wasn't worried one millisecond of time about you. But when he sees you, he sees his beloved Son dwelling within you. You are the temple of God. Remember I mentioned earlier about people who want to build the temple of God? You are the temple of God. That's what the scripture says. We are living stones, rightly fit together. And we are held together by the capstone, Jesus Christ himself. That's the temple that you are. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I'm preaching myself happy here. Next week, God willing, we'll talk about remember that other people need you. Other people need you. We're going to talk about that next week in the same topic of remembering things. If you're here this morning, I don't do this very frequently, but I'm going to do it this morning. Because I want to give some of you an anchor to hold on to. Some of you might, if I were to ask you if you were saved, you said, well, I think I am. Well, you know, I've always been a Christian. If you think you've always been a Christian, you're not. You are wrong. Say, well, I was baptized in First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Methodist, Third First Church of the Living Dead. You know, you've been baptized there. all right, wherever that was. I want you to know that today is July the 14th, 15th? Which one is it? Well, one and a six, that's the 16th, all right. I may be saved, but my hearing is still crummy, all right. The 16th of July, in the year 2017, 1617, that'd be easy to remember, right? 1617, all right? So 7, 16, 17. Wait, let's wait to do this tomorrow on 17th. Then it'll be 7, 17, 17. It'll be real easy for you to remember, right? For those of you who think we can wait for the 17th month, you are in trouble, all right? So we have to just go with the 7th month, all right? I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, and I want you to remember today, if you can't nail it down for when you came to the Lord, we're going to nail it down right now for you. You may be saved and on the way to heaven, but you just can't remember. I'm going to give you a place to remember. So I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer, and I want everybody to repeat after me as I pray, all right? If you don't agree with what I say, then just don't pray. But I'm sure you will. Just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus.
I believe that He lived,
that He died,
and that He rose from the
dead, and that He will return
to this earth.
Right now, as best I know how,
I believe
and I trust
that
my sins are forgiven and that I have been born again
of the incorruptible
seed of God,
which is the Word of God
in Christ Jesus.
I trust you
to take me to heaven
when I lay
my body to rest.
And I pray this prayer
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So some of you who didn't know,
this is your day.
If you're watching over the internet,
if you're listening over the
radio, this is your
day.
You have been born again.
I would recommend,
if you have not been
baptized as a
believer, that you get
baptized.
Baptism
will not get
you into heaven.
I'm not adding
anything to it,
but Jesus
said, go into the
whole world,
preach the
good news,
baptizing
folks.
I think
it's a good thing.
It's a great church
tradition,
and it just helps you.
There's a lot of
reasons I won't go into
this morning.
So,
is anybody
here got any
doubt about their going to
heaven?
Anybody?
Go,
and the peace of the
Lord be with you,
and have a wonderful
day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Man.